bit.
Yeah, 20, 30 minutes.
They had that Marvel thing today.
What did they have?
Hold on, let me look it up. So we got the new Star Wars title, some Marvel thing.
Marvel. Okay. I don't know. Marvel announces so many stuff that I don't really give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a geek thing, but, you know, like, 2017 has already started knocking off Legends. So.
Really?
Mary Tyler Moore died yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
I told you that last night.
2017 couldn't give us
you
a month.
You told me that last night.
You assume Larry listens to you.
That's funny. That's my first.
Okay. Square Enix is making it the Avengers and other Marvel games. That was announced today.
Oh,
that's the Marvel thing was.
That could be something. I don't know. Square Enix is very hit or miss.
Yeah, Square Enix being the makers of Final Fantasy.
Kingdom Hearts.
Well,
they've had a couple of bombs though. I mean,
they've definitely had a couple bombs.
I actually don't play a lot of their games, so I don't feel I'm missing out on anything.
You're not. It's just, you know, that's your thing. It's your thing. If it's not, that's
yeah.
I haven't played a Final Fantasy game since like the PlayStation.
And that's perfectly fine,
honestly... That's where most of the good ones are, so you're...
Yeah, 7... I mean, at 7 and 8, it was really good. 8 wasn't really that good. 9 was pretty decent.
9 was alright. I hear that 10 was alright, but I didn't play it.
I played a lot of 10. I did like the spear grid thing, the way you advanced your characters by going in certain stats and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, and then... I saw 10-2 played, and I heard a lot of complaints about the dress grid thing, or the dress...
I haven't played 10-2.
...job, whatever.
I didn't... I missed 10, 11, and 12. I think I went to 13 with lightning in them. That was.
I've heard that most of the sequel games are pretty crappy. They're not as good as the actual, you know, mainline games.
Well, but it's 13 was bad anyway. Expand a story,
The original Final Fantasies were so good, and I mean, you know, they were. I mean, they were like the start of it. They were the start of good RPG that had, you know, depth to their story. I remember playing Final Fantasy II with Cecil, the Dark Knight who becomes a paladin.
Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah, you never played Final Fantasy II unless
it was repackaged as Final Fantasy II, and I played it as Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo.
Right, that's where
that was a great game.
Yeah, the storyline was really good.
Our Final Fantasy III, I thought, was really cool.
The one, yes,
our for the Super Nintendo 3, Which I went back and got,
which was
the anthology. It was 5.
Yeah, that was 5.
I went back.
No, it was
it 6?
The one with Terra and the Espers, that was 6. That was repackaged as 3.
Yeah.
Which that, of course, threw everybody off. Because it's like, now we're putting them on the PlayStation. Check out Final Fantasy 7. Wait, the last one was 3. Yeah. And
it's like, what are we, Capcom of a sudden? We can't count past 3? Can't count past 2 for 20 years? Then suddenly, we can count to 3, and now we forgot how to count to 4.
I wouldn't.
Well, Valve has the same problem.
Capcom with anything.
They can't get past. They can't get to Half-Life 3 yet.
Oh boy! I wish some movie makers couldn't count past 3.
Michael Bay.
But 3 is the magic number, especially when you can hit 3 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are some times
4 is outright, and 5 is completely out of the question.
But we'll see. Then there are the ones that you wish couldn't count past 1, like the Wachowskis. You know, the first Matrix should have been left alone. They didn't need a 2 or 3. The way the first one ended was fine. We didn't need all the Messiah complexing and stuff at the end. We didn't need Neo going out on a cross. You know, we didn't need that. The first one cut off fine, and it was it. You know, he flies off into the, and you're thinking, and that your imagination goes wild. What could he have possibly done with all of this? But then they had to just completely screw it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get off my box.
Yeah, they did.
I think they always intended to have multiple.
They always intended to have multiple ones, but yeah, multiple ones were not great. Unless you just wanted to watch.
Then they went from the Wachowski brothers to the Wachowski sisters, which is so messed up.
Siblings. Only one of them got a
sex. I think both of them did now.
Did the other one get?
I don't know. I only knew of the one.
Yeah, I only knew of the one.
I'm pretty sure the second one did get one too, but I could be wrong.
That's not our own thing.
It's whatever. Yeah. You got that kind of money and you can't make yourself happy.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Right. If that's what you want to do with it, and that's if that's what you want to be when you grow up, more power to you. Or if that's how you feel you are inside and you want to make your outside match, whatever the PC
right. You know, here's the thing. One of my best friends did that. Because for the longest time, he felt that he wasn't who he should be. Then he graduated with his double engineering degrees, went to Arizona working for a giant aerospace company, got the money to have it done, and
right. I mean, it's not like, you know, these are crazy people that have that kind of thing done. Because back in the day,
there's no longer a stigma to it.
Right. There used to be a stigma where, if you wanted to have that kind of thing done, you know, you had to be crazy or whatever.
Yeah. And you had to go to, like, you know, China or Cuba to have it done because it was so under the table and...
I wouldn't want to go to Cuba for my surgery choices.
Well,
even if I could even get there anyway.
That's the thing is that Cuba. The problem is getting back. Yeah, but the thing is like Cuba actually does have some pretty decent medical stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's just, but the thing is like you said, the problem is getting back.
Well, not anymore.
For now.
All still alive, by the way.
Yes, we are.
So congratulations.
Yeah. But yes, it's not passing. We talked about this earlier. He's not passing. It's not laws he's putting into effect. It's executive orders, and they're as good as the next president.
Well, yeah. As far as they're not bills, and they. But the thing is, we've given so much power to an executive order, and this was long before Trump came along.
Obama was.
Now, there's been executive orders for years and years and years, but we've just made them more powerful.
They've just grown exponentially as presidents have come along.
Travis, you looked it up the other day. How many executive orders?
Several hundred.
Did Obama do,
295?
It was under 300.
Yeah.
Bill had the most out of recent ones at almost 400.
But they had executive orders has been going back, 100 years or something like that?
Yeah.
But 100 years ago, they would do, one or two.
Right. A lot of them. But now, I went and looked back. How many was done in the first year? Most of them only did around 20 the first year. Some of them got up to 40 or 50. But as I've been saying, like them, love them, hate them, whatever, agree, disagree, you got to admit, he's getting a lot of shit done, He's pissing a lot of people off.
He's getting a lot of shit done. It's not shit I agree with necessarily, but he is getting a lot of shit done. I will give him that.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, the whole build the wall thing, I thought that was just something. I'll give him props on keeping his word on that, or at least attempting to.
Lip service.
Which is often more than what you get from most politicians.
Let's jump off of the politics talk here.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get real political or anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. I don't think this will be the first time a conversation gets derailed. This won't be the only time.
Oh, I'm the master of derailing things, but hey. According to Taylor.
Who's not even here.
Not yet. Right. That's the key word with the Kickstarter. Yet. Jello apocalypse.
Oh, FYI, I had one of our faithful, never present listeners say it came off like I was against diversity in comics, and I'm really not. I'm against pointless exploitation. And that's kind of what the point I was trying to go off.
I'm just against going back to the conversation. And I don't really want to rehash our conversation last week.
Right.
No. But I'm just against the fact that they're doing it so much that it's not that I'm against that these characters are being turned. I'm just against that they're all getting turned at the same time. So it seems like it's a very unoriginal idea.
It comes off as a fad.
At this point.
And several times it doesn't even... There's no point in it. There's, you know, you don't just want to say, oh, let's repackage this. Let's repackage this person to appeal to, you know, another, you know, demographic, which is fine. But, you know, like you just said last week, it's like try and throw something original out there instead of rehashing old ideas. But that just seems to be the fad now, as well as rehashing old ideas.
Well, and, you know, of course, Hollywood has been remaking old ideas.
And that's the thing, the longest time.
Yes. So yeah. It's nothing new. It's just a new medium.
Oh, and so I forget what number we finally came down to, but it's crazy if you were to take, you know, like William Shakespeare's top 25 plays and take their basic plot line and just ones that are direct remakes of those, like Midsummer Night's Dream, She's the Man, Freaky, or Taming of the Shrew, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah. You know, or even just how many different versions of Romeo and Juliet there are. You know?
There's enough of them.
I mean, and if you just, there's probably like five or six that are actually called Romeo and Juliet. Then there's, you know, of course, like West Side Story and stuff like that. Yeah, but yeah, you can, almost every idea is like a ripoff of something else.
Well, yeah.
But there's that fine line between taking inspiration from something and completely ripping the entire thing, sticking a new title to it, and thinking that no one's going to catch
it. Well, of course, the old adage is great artists, or good artists create, great artists steal.
So, what have you read here lately?
What have I read lately? I haven't even dug into my books this week, so...
Yeah, I just picked up my new books this week, but I am definitely looking forward to Wayward number 20, which is the end of this current arc. Hulk number 2.
Hulk number 2.
2. I love that first issue. Jen is basically dealing with what I sum up as post-traumatic stress disorder
from dying
in Civil War II. But, you know, if you were in Civil War II, it'd be probably stressful as well. And how she's trying to cope while a monster is building inside of her.
Everybody involved with Civil War II probably has chronic migraines from now on, because I get a migraine just even trying to read that.
I picked up Flash number 15, Wonder Woman number 15, Briggsland number 6, World War X number 3, I think.
How's Briggsland doing?
Briggsland is pretty good, actually.
I read the first one and liked it. I've been waiting for the trade.
Briggsland is a, if you like, and I hate to use the comparison, but it's the best comparison I can make. If you like Sons of Anarchy, Briggsland is a book for you.
Yeah, so it's gonna fill that spot when it comes to TV, right? Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I think they're already optioning it.
Yeah. Oh, they are. Yeah, they already are.
Yeah.
I think it is AMC too.
Yeah. What else did I get? Oh, Saga number 42, which is divisible by 6.
So that means next week
is a trade. Which this current arc of Saga has been rather heartbreaking in some ways.
When are they not?
Yeah, but this has been pretty heartbreaking.
Speaking
here.
Of stuff based off, William Shakespeare scripts, is Saga still going off the Romeo and Juliet type setup?
I think it's more along the lines of a Bonnie and Clyde now.
Okay.
Because they're on the run from both the wings and the horns. They got the robot prince, and you know they're refueling. Basically, this whole arc has been then stuck on a moon to refuel the rocket ship. And basically, bounty hunters have caught up to it. But it's a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet, but eventually it does turn into a kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde story.
Excellent.
I haven't finished Sunstone number 5 yet. That thing is, I mean, it's thick.
Sunstone's a, yeah.
And you get to a point and it becomes where Lisa, the character of Lisa, is telling stories. And the stories are basically, you know, books. So you get to this one part and it's like, you know, these completely new characters doing something, and it's like, where did I take this turn at? I stopped for a little bit. I need to finish it up just to get my bearings on that.
But, I was in here the other day and saw the volume, I think it was like volume 1 was over here, and I saw it and almost picked it up.
But Stefan Sedgwick,
it's definitely, while it is an attractive book, beautiful art, it is a love story and well written. Many people have picked it up for the art and stuck with it for the story.
Once I get a couple of bucks around, I'm actually going to pick up the first one and give it a shot, because just listening to you talk about it last week, it actually sounded really interesting. It's a
non-traditional love story is how I can best put it.
That's all, I mean, but that's great though. I mean, that's good, because you don't need the traditional way to look at it.
But this is, like I said this last week, this is a, Sunstone was 5 volumes, and it's book 1 in a trilogy. Oh, yeah, I do have that marker board. There's 2 other books coming, which Sedgwick has already teased artwork for, which is called Mercy, which is a story of the supporting characters of Alan and Anne. It's their story. And then the third story is a character that they've only mentioned a couple of times in the book, named Marion. So, and that's, that will be called Jasper. But it, just looking at, you know, going over it, Sedgwick has included like his like one-off artworks from his DeviantArt page of Ali and Lisa. He's incorporated these. That's where a lot of it is the stories, the stories that Lisa is sharing incorporates that artwork. I was like, wait a second, I've seen this before, but it's like, this is not part. This is. But it's been volume 5 has been very heartbreaking so far, because volume 4 left off on a very sour note between Allie and Lisa, and they are not on the best terms right now, or as far as I've read into the book.
Well, last week I picked up issue 3 of the He-Man Thundercats crossover, which I showed you that panel.
You showed me that panel.
That was such an amazing panel. The story itself is actually getting really good.
Cool. What? Describe this panel for me.
Okay, so the panel is... Okay, without spoiling anything, Lion-O and Cringer are undertaking a mission, and Cringer being Cringer's really kind of, I don't know, and Lion-O just looks like, you're a cat, like me. And like, this is the sword of omens in the Eye of Thundera. If it unlocks the potential of my people, let's see what it does to you. As he infuses Cringer with the power of Thundera, and like the next panel is, you've got Monkeyin and some of Skeletor's guys like looting the not Grayskull, but Skeletor's lair.
Yeah.
Treasure all over the place, or it's Mummers rather. And then suddenly they hear this noise. They look behind them, and there's this giant. It looks like Battle Cat got given the Thundercats treatment.
Uh-huh.
Like his helmet is the same helmet, but he's like bipedal with his giant Thundercats logo on his chest. And he is just like all
that's
hyped
funny.
Up.
So it's not obvious who Cringer is now.
Yeah.
Right. And of course they all look, and then next thing you know, you see like, you know, flashes of red in his claws and everything. And then later when they catch back up to him, he's back to Cringer, and he's just licking his paws, is like looking around, is like, hi. How's it going? It was an amazing panel, but the story itself is actually getting really good. Like, I missed issue 2, but I kind of looked it up a little bit. It's only a 6 issue, which is so sad, but it's good because it'll cut off. But the merging of the two stories has actually been really well done.
Well, just going off of something we've said before, DC has been taking a lot of chances lately with crossovers.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you got that Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
I wanted to pick that up.
They've been winning with a lot of crossovers.
Star Trek and Green Lanterns was great.
Really? But they, but basically, this, you know, DC is the one that puts out the He-Man book, and I think IDW does Thundercats.
I think so. Yeah.
Who,
but, yeah, it's mentioned in the beginning that it's a collaboration effort. The
yeah, but they
for the '80s child,
you got to really hand it to DC for taking these kind of risks and having this kind of fun.
Well, yeah, and
I mean they're doing Justice League and Power Rangers right now.
Yes,
right,
that was actually a lot better than I expected it.
That's been the running theme with all of these, though. They've all
like
a lot
Scooby
better.
Apocalypse, great selling book. But could you imagine the guys that first heard that pitch? No. Yeah. It's gonna be the little stoner dude. His dog. He's gonna rescue the dog. We're gonna make the dog a super genius that can talk through emoji. I would have been like, "Are you high on Scooby Snacks?"
Here's the pitch is fine. My problem with that book is that it's not written very well.
It doesn't feel like a Scooby Doo book.
No, it doesn't.
But see, hearing all these just makes that inner '80s child just go.
Then you should be really reading the IDW stuff, because that would make your inner child squeal with joy.
Well, I mean, just watching Pacific Rim made my inner child squeal.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
they have IDW has all the stuff that you love from the '80s,
right?
Like their entire Hasbro line is fantastic,
and it's all in one connected.
See,
universe.
I'm also picking up the Mask comics.
Well, if you're picking up the Mask, then you
so those are actually really good.
You need to pick up, because Mask is part of the Hasbro universe, so that's connected to Micronauts, it's connected
Transformers. They're doing a lot of that.
Action Man, Rom.
Basically,
they have a team book called Revolutionaries, which mixes all of them together.
And I'm looking right over, and I'm just seeing the dollar signs in Larry's head just going off. I was like, yes, yeah. keep pitching stuff for this person to spend money at my shop.
But
like, I don't spend enough.
And if you want to know more about that, you can listen to Instruments of Destruction, which comes out on Tuesdays on OurRayGeekery.com.
That's a great pitch, man.
A great pitch. You can learn about all of those Hasbro stuff.
Well, that'd actually be something to look into for it's a lot of the Hasbro stuff. Then.
Yeah, basically IDW has taken all of the '80s all of Marvel's third-party properties and done a stellar job with them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Especially Transformers. Transformers has been fantastic.
That is so hard to. That's going to be so hard for me to pick up with a blank slate because I've seen.
Luckily,
they've
relaunched all of their Transformers books, so there's a starting on point that is very near.
Well, are they going into G1? Are they transitioning into
G2?
Or is it, okay,
no,
good.
It's all G1.
Okay, in that case, I'm good. That's good. I don't have to wish for Hot Rod to get shot in the head.
Well, you can still wish for Hot Rod.
Yeah, Hot Rod's still. He's Rodimus Prime now, but he's still a dick. So you can still wish for him to get shot in the head. Now he's a purple asshole. Because of
that's
reasons.
Decepticon colors, man.
It's because he's so sad. His
outside
has to reflect his inside.
Emo Rodimus Prime?
No, okay. Hot Rod's name became Rodimus Prime when he got the All Spark.
Yeah, Matrix.
And the original show, yes. In the comic book, he became called Rodimus Prime because Swindle basically played up his ego and was like, hey, you should be in charge. You should start calling yourself this. And then he was like, okay, I'll start calling myself this. And
so
they got into a huge, like, fight division.
When Optimus Prime
loses
the Matrix of Leadership, what is his name?
Orion Pax.
That was his original.
Well, what it was in the original TV series, Orion Pax would become Optimus Prime after Alpha Trion rebuilt him.
Yes.
Now, when Alpha Trion rebuilt Optimus Prime, he was the first in the line of new defenders of Cybertron. And he was not the leader of the Autobots at that time, but he was called Optimus Prime. Whereas in the cartoon, Rodimus, whenever he loses the Matrix of Leadership, reverts back to Hot Rod.
Yes.
So there's like some cyber voodoo going on with Hot Rod right there.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But yeah, if you watch like the Japanese continuation of the G1 stuff. Basically, there comes a point where you have Optimus Prime and Rodimus Prime.
Yeah. I've actually got that series.
Yeah, but the
Headmaster series is actually
no,
good.
Not well. Yeah, the Headmaster series
is part of it. Yeah,
yeah, but the Headmasters, the U.S. Headmasters only had the beginning
no.
Of it.
I've got the Japanese.
You've got the Japanese.
I've
you
got
know
the
that
version.
They joined forces to fight and save
yes.
Cybertron.
Yes,
yes. Because basically, it's a very crazy stuff. Like you know, six shot, he kills Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, and then the
Soundwave dies. They actually kill people in that one. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They send Ultra Magnus off in like the most corniest way ever. They put him like in a coffin. It was like flowers.
Yeah.
It's a, and then Daniel has to be stranded on the planet with the guy that killed. No, that was before he killed him. Yeah, there was an episode in the Japanese continuation where Daniel and Sixshot got stranded on a planet together. And yeah. I can't remember if it was before or after what happened to Ultra Magnus.
I'd guess after.
Possibly.
That'd make more...
makes more of a dynamic there.
Yes.
Mm. You big bullies, he starts pounding on his leg. How could you do it?
You're a big meaty.
Oh, wait, no. At this point, he's actually grown up. And his kid is the whiny bitch.
I'm
going to
wait till you fall asleep, and I'm going to pee in your gas tank.
Next time we revert, you're getting regular.
So, we know what the title of the new Star Wars movie is going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The Last Jedi, which is ominous. Dun-dun-dun.
Wonder who it is.
Have you seen the meme they have? They have the meme where it says, The Force Awakens, the Last Jedi from his nap. But people are also talking about the color of the logo.
It's red.
It's red.
Yeah, it's red now,
which generally is associated with the end of a trilogy. Because the Revenge of the Sith was red. Return of the Jedi was red. But this is the second movie in this trilogy. And it's red. So somebody's going to die.
I figured somebody was going to die anyway.
We're probably going to get more than one this
Luke's
time.
Luke's going to die.
Yes.
That would probably be...
You know, before Carrie Fisher died, there was already saying that Leia had a big role to play in the third movie of this trilogy.
Yeah.
And so, and
well, she's going to definitely die.
They don't know how, because basically Lucasfilm has come out and said that they will not do any CGI.
They're not
going to
restructure her
Fisher.
For the next movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So something, either something's going to happen off screen, or basically, I don't know. This is
they're going to have to rearrange some scenes or something.
Last thing I read was she'd already finished all of her work on The Last Jedi. So she'd already finished all of her work there, but they're going to have to do something either off-screen or in a book and, you know, canon it in.
Well, if she's already done for that movie, you know, then it's really easy to have them refer to it, you know,
make a reference.
Here we are back at the base, and it's been bombed, and we lost Princess Leia. Oh, we
lost...
It'll
be General Leia.
The General. The General, that's all they call it.
Yeah, you gotta get that title right.
Organo.
Yeah, the General, yeah. Which actually, the fact that they actually go to calling her General Organa, which kind of leads to the thing of... So, she and Han never got married, yet they had at least one kid, so...
I think they got married, and after they separated...
Maybe she went back to
the same
name.
There's some stuff in, like, the visual guide for Star Wars, where it says Han Solo remodeled portions of the Millennium Falcon as a wedding gift to Princess Leia.
But didn't they put somebody, come out as Han's wife?
That was in the comics. Yeah,
I don't think they ever actually got married.
I think she is Han's wife.
She claims that she's not really. Yeah.
You know, but again, that happened in the comics right around the time they were retconning and pitching almost everything
that
was
Han,
not
Han's
movies.
Character getting drunk in Vegas.
This was the Marvel one.
Oh, it was
the
Marvel. Okay, so it wasn't Mos Eisley.
This is new canon. Yeah.
Okay. Not waking up married.
Yeah. They go to basically Vegas in space or something.
Yep, space Vegas.
We ran by Lando Calrissian. He's like, I've seen the whole thing.
Lando Calrissian in an Elvis outfit marries him. Yeah. And a drive-thru where they drive with their Millennium Falcon.
And do you, Princess Leia, take Han Solo to be your awfully wedded husband? hello. Do I get
well,
to kiss
you
the
know,
brown?
I mean, The Last Jedi, the title alone does not inspire me. Well, I mean, it's
not,
cool.
None of the titles are, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to know the title, I suppose, but just the logo and the title that.
Yeah. Hey. Until we get production really, stills and stuff, it's, you know,
or we get a trailer, or a teaser, or something.
Yeah, something to actually what you know to kind of look at and go, is this worth my money? Is it worth my money?
The question.
The
is
answer
always
is
going
yes.
To be yes to your question.
Yeah, the answer is always yes. I know that, but
it's Star Wars.
It's yeah, but it's levels of how much am I willing to throw money towards this? You know, honestly, I am so looking forward to throwing money towards the standalone Yoda movie coming because I'm a huge Yoda fan anyway. You know, when I see a trailer for like Last Jedi, it's like, okay, this looks pretty good. But then I look forward to the year after that when I'm probably going to throw even more money at Disney because I'm going to love seeing this because I've waited so long for it.
You're
going to
throw a lot of money at Disney regardless of what they do.
Well, that's because they own
everything you like.
That guys like. It's like, no, and you can imagine, how they,
yes.
And that's how smart they were. It's like, so we've already captured all of the females and all the girls, so what can we do for the guys? Let's buy Star Wars. Let's buy Marvel. And let's
put Deadpool in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, let's not call it a monopoly because that's just a game. But you know, we're going to just like boom.
Which is a possibility because we just had an announcement from Square Enix
about
Marvel games. Avengers games. I don't know if they're based off of the movies or comics. They're going to be based off the comics, but. You know,
either way, it's going to be more.
Either
money.
Way, it's going to be really, really long and really, really convoluted.
Yes, and somehow Bulma
and have a combat system that
Bahamut.
Everybody is going to like.
Yeah, somehow Bahamut gets in
and
there.
I'm waiting,
yeah.
So, and I'll wait for the inevitable
like the
Deadpool versus Sephiroth
X-Men game to capture the comic book experience.
Who is Terrigen Mist DLC?
Love you. Downloadable crossover levels, you know. You download it, one character dies, another one is reborn.
A whole
new. They all get new outfits.
A whole new campaign where it's just nothing but Inhumans.
Oh boy. Gomer's gonna pre order that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes all that fancy X Men.
Yeah. I haven't followed X-Men in forever.
He's a mutie lover.
He is a mutie lover. It's okay. It's okay to not follow them. They all have AIDS right now, so.
Yeah. Mutant AIDS. Is that what they have? Yeah. They're all dying from smoke.
Yeah, they're all dying from smoke.
When AVX was released, I got the mainline AVX just because I thought the concept was really good. And then it's like, oh, wait, but you didn't get the side story, so you don't know what's going on in the next issue.
That's why I hate events.
It's called events.
That's why I hate events, because you can't get everything in one
You have to
one
buy
that, that's
story.
That's the problem with the Marvel movies, is they're basically events. They all tie back into each other, and if you miss one, you're missing the big part of it.
Larry hates
connected continuity, which is one of the founding things of the shop that he runs.
So what else is going on? Well, no, that's great. Everybody's talking one time.
Well,
you see, little inside baseball.
Inside baseball. I love inside baseball.
Inside baseball.
So inside baseball about magic?
Yeah, this is about magic.
I like magic inside baseball.
Okay. Well, not magic, but inside outright geekery baseball.
Okay.
So there was basically the comment was made that, you know, a certain someone shouldn't talk about comics because he doesn't know the difference between mutants and inhumans.
And I know the difference between mutants and inhumans.
Nobody gives a shit, though.
I know, but you own a comic.
That wasn't what was said.
Well,
it was said that I didn't read them, but I do read them.
But the reply was...
Not as many as Gomer does, though.
The reply to that was, I don't know much about magic, so I should... But you don't hear me talking about that. So I got a pack here, and we're going to crack it open right now. It's the new set, Aether Revolt. And we're going to look at the cards. I got the Dawn Feather Eagle, this Imbrawl Greer Smasher, which is, you know, sacrifice an artifact, deal 2 damage to somebody. Leave in the Dust. Oh, it's a bounce card. And it lets you draw a card, so it's a cantrip. Alleyway Strangler, you know, it's a body, has menace, has to have 2 creatures block it. Or menace is it menace?
Menace is 2
menace
creatures.
Is 2 creatures.
Menace is 2 creatures block. Because there's the other one that has, like, you know, it can only be blocked by creatures of its color.
That's
intimidate.
Intimidate. And yeah. Before that was fear.
Okay. Druid fear of the Cow. Only black. Oh, the Cow.
Yeah, fear was only black.
Which is
or artifact for artifact.
Which is a 2-drop 1/3 that you can tap for green mana. The 4th Bridge Prowler, which basically lets you kill something
that's
small when you drop.
That's actually real good. It's a 1/1, 1 drop that gives something a -1/-1
Yeah, it's a
that's
good,
actually a really good card.
Right,
good card.
I mean, it's really good. Turn 1, bam, you can usually kill their 1 drop.
Yeah. There. The Implement of Examination, which is you pay 1 blue mana. It's an artifact. You pay 1 blue mana, sacrifice it, draw a card. When it hits the graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card. So you get 2 cards off of this thing. That's pretty good.
I can see putting that under a
Reservoir Walker is a 5-drop artifact creature. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 3 life and get 3 energy. So it's basically a Peace Strider from the Scars block. But it gives you energy. This is Destructive Tampering. It's a 1 red and 2 colorless modal card, which lets you choose 1 destroy target artifact or creatures without flying can't block this turn. The Feligree Crawler, which I don't like this card.
That's the Giant Centipede, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Giant Centipede. It's a 4 drop. It's a 2/2. When it dies, you get a 1/1.
Oh, that's not good.
It's not a great card, but if you really need it, an extra body or 2.
Yeah, this will probably be something for like draft or something, but you're not going to see it like in a standard deck or anything.
No.
The Cogwork Assembler, which is a artifact creature. It's a 3 drop. It's a 2/3. It's a 7, and for its ability, it's a 7 mana. You create a token of a copy of an artifact.
There is a reason why you would see it in standard, and I can explain it. There's a rare called Scrap Trawler.
Oh, yes.
So basically, when an artifact or a creature dies, or is it just an artifact?
I think it's an artifact with a converted mana cost of 3 or less.
No, it's... When an artifact dies, you get something back. You get an artifact back that has a lesser converted mana cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So having the different number, if you really needed a 4-drop artifact, because there is a lot of 3-drop artifacts right now.
Yeah. and that was the first of our uncommons. The next one is Monstrous Onslaught, which is a green card. It's for 2 green and 3 colorless. It deals X damage divided as you choose among a number of creatures where X is the greatest power among creatures you control as you cast Monstrous Onslaught.
That's the green board wipe, isn't it?
Yeah, essentially. So, like, basically, if you can get... what is that? Colossus, the Metalwork Colossus...
Okay.
That 11 drop that's a 10/10 or something like that?
Oh, Darksteel Colossus.
No, not Darksteel. It's in
Kaladesh. Oh, you're talking the Kaladesh one. Okay.
The one that becomes has infinity but doesn't have infinity? Affinity without affinity?
What's the keyword? It's not infinity. It's like Convoke.
Okay.
Artifacts.
Oh, Inspiration.
Yeah, Inspiration.
Well, it basically for all the non-creature artifacts you control, casting cost is less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I gotcha.
For, like, whatever their converted mana cost are.
Yeah.
But sorry, it's non-creature artifacts.
Yeah,
not
any, I mean, here's the thing. Anytime you bring up cards, I start thinking about Commander because that's what I play. So,
okay.
And I'm thinking of all the things I can do well, with green
is,
with
this
that.
This is a good. Cards. This is a good card right here for Commander. It's a hidden stockpile.
Yes.
This would be really good in that black white Aetheros.
I have an Aetheros deck.
This
yeah,
would be really
actually,
good in that.
I actually have one of those.
But it's basically it's for one white and one black. It's an enchantment with the keyword of revolt. It says at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact token.
Mm-hmm.
So and in an Aetheros deck that runs basically the Shadowborn
That's
Apostle.
Fine.
That is
my Aetheros deck. My Aetheros deck is like 40 Shadowborn Apostles, a bunch of sac outlets. And there's a rare actually over there that it's like you exile one. It's out of Aether. It's like you exile one card out of your graveyard. Go into your library, find any of them you want with the same name, put them in your hand.
Okay.
That isn't that my Shadowborn. I saw that in my Shadowborn deck. Just went, I need this.
But basically, and then it has an ability. It says for one mana, sacrifice a creature and scry one.
So yeah, that's an amazing.
This thing
I need one of those.
In that Aetheros deck is going to be bonkers.
Yes.
And then we get to the rare, which we didn't get. Get them. A shiny, or we didn't get a masterpiece.
Ah,
so, Secret Salvage, which is a black sorcery. It's two black and three colorless. Exile target non-land card from your graveyard. Search your library for any number of these cards.
Just talking about.
That was the one you were talking about.
And I have to
with
get
the same name as that card. Reveal them, put them in your hand, and shuffle your library.
So for anyone who plays Relentless Rats or Shadowborn Apostles, that is
you forgot about your token in the back. What'd you get?
Oh, I got an energy token.
Oh boy, you got an energy token, guys.
Energy. Which energy is a big mechanic, and
yeah, there's definitely the energy sub theme, the artifact sub theme, and they're doing a lot with vehicles and spitting out token artifacts and everything. And I haven't got the chance to play too much, but I definitely have enjoyed what I have a chance to play. Now,
I am as basically a player who plays EDH quite a bit. There's a lot of cards that I actually really do like from this set. I'm working on a blue-red artifact, Nizzet Artifacts deck, and that Consulate Dreadnought, that one-drop 7/11.
Mm-hmm.
I've already figured out how to play it in that EDH deck.
I've been working on that too. It's
fun, and then a lot of cards, a lot of like the artifacts from Aether Revolts, and in Kaladesh are really fun to play.
Well, I see a lot of the artifact theming, and it's like I only have so many spots in my Kimba deck that I can put there, but I keep seeing all these things that are going to be so good for artifacts, and it's like I have to find room for them all.
Yeah, that's the problem. You got to make sacrifices to optimize your deck the way you want to play it. I mean, there's a mechanized production. Which is that mythic rare, like what is it? I forget exactly what it's cost, but it's a blue card. Basically, it's an enchantment. You enchant a creature or artifact,
mm-hmm.
and it makes copies of that. And I have a Tamir deck, which is red, green, and blue,
mm-hmm.
that poops out clones. And I just happen to...
I love poop clones.
They definitely put a lot of fun synergy combos in this set, where you can do a lot of fun stuff, even in limited.
Yeah. And there's already like what two infinite combos in standard now?
There's a splinter twin combo
like that.
Now.
They're slow combos, but they're still there.
Because there's like that artifact creature from Revolt that's basically whenever an ability gets activated or something, it gets +1/+1, and you can basically run in a deck with that man land, that red blue man land, the Femoral, Wandering Femoral. And basically infinite combo stuff.
Yeah, the other one that's seeing a lot of seeing play is the Saheeli Felidar.
Because
whenever the Felidar comes in, you get to bounce Saheeli, you +1 Saheeli, you make a copy of it, you bounce it, you bounce Saheeli. Suddenly you're splinter twinning a bunch of cats, and you get the fever from it, so it's okay.
Cat scratch fever.
So what are you building over there?
Just finished it right before we started. It's a Relic Contemptor Dreadnought from Forge World.
Now,
fun. My Dark Angel stuff, it's doing more. It'll be a Space Wolves Dreadnought because wolves.
Is it going to be Chapter or Legion?
Chapter.
Okay.
It's Chapter. Space Wolves Dreadnought can enter count as elite choices instead of heavy support, where out of Angels of Death, Condemptors count as heavy support.
But that's different chapters. Although Angels of Death is the
Space Marine supplement that has all of these decurion detachments for like Salamanders, White Scars, okay. Imperial Fists.
They've changed so much around on that Warhammer 40K stuff that I've lost track of.
It included like three different things for from Heresy, like Cataphractes, Contemptors, and they actually looped that into Angels Fall of Cadia to show how it could indeed happen.
Have they somehow incorporated the Scalarian tanks yet?
The Scarians?
Yes.
I haven't seen anything about it. But I was glad to read Fall of Cadia and see that Fell Bane Blades and stuff were there. So now I don't feel bad about fielding my Fell Blade in a game.
Which is a very big tank.
Yes, it is.
Now,
it is very big and very fun. I've only played it once, and it accumulated so much hate. I swore I wouldn't play it again until someone forced me to do it.
Now, when I used to put together models, I would actually do it where they would be magnetized.
I haven't gotten into magnetizing yet. I've only been really doing more. I've only been building for maybe a year or less. Okay. Eventually, I'm going to get into it. My roommate, who also plays, has picked up the drill bits and stuff, and we're going to get the magnets and
doing something like with that. Doing something like that makes it so much easier to paint when you can magnetize like the arms and the legs. So it just gives you, you know, the open up the areas to paint.
That'd be one reason why I'd want to do it. The other would be so I can, you know, switch out weapon loads. But you know, like I said, I'm still kind of a novice to a lot of that. I want to get into it.
I've seen such crazy and creative builds and modifications. Yeah. You got one guy there's a army called the Harlequins.
Yeah.
And one guy that did Joker's Dunk. Mask.
Dunk?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say names or anything. Okay.
Yeah, he did his Harlequins as Jokers. Yeah, I saw that.
They turned out really, really well.
Yes, yeah. They did.
Yeah,
I know which ones you're talking about. But he like didn't... He used like a guitar string or something to make the mask.
Something like that. To do like hair on it and everything.
Because there was a. I did ask him about that. I believe he said it was like guitar string or something that he
there's some
for that. For like on particularly his fighters.
He's been doing that. Yeah, the thing is, like, guys like him and Travis, some of these guys have been doing it for so long. They know all these little tricks. Like I said, I'm just getting started, so I'm just now getting into the thing of converting and doing a lot of that stuff. Like, I've got an entire bag of Tau weapons for my Crisis suits, and I'm going to start, like, gluing on to things just to give them more interesting-looking loadouts.
Like, if you still had, like, the parts, the actual sprue from where they made the mold for the Contemptor, those blocks, actually, when you work on them a little bit, actually make, like, very nice little jersey barriers.
Yeah.
It's just little things like that. I mean, when you got people who can basically take a tub of whipped cream and turn it into a tower this tall.
Right.
You know, that it's an incredible... I've always liked the hobby, even though I, you know, don't play it as much as I used to.
Right.
And the rules have... They've gone through, like, several editions since I've played. So, I mean, I'd be picking up basically... from ground level.
Well, and, you know, of course, a lot of it, like you said, is the hobby.
Yeah.
It is a lot of building and painting and all that stuff. But miniature building.
I've always had an appreciation for the terrain, as the terrain building aspect of that hobby.
It, but I love to build it. I love building, but, again, the painting, it's... A lot of it is, it's a lot of fine detail, and lately I haven't exactly been in the right frame of mind to exercise my patience on something like that. But at some point I'm going to, because it's getting into my head. It's like, I got way too much of this stuff that hasn't been painted yet. I need to do something with it.
I've been contemplating, if not getting back into the game, but making terrain and stuff. And just making terrain and donating it to the shop.
We would appreciate that a lot.
I was actually thinking along the lines of like investing in a 3D printer and making terrain that away.
And I assemble, like, GW gives me a budget to buy stuff, and I usually spend that on terrain.
Yeah, but there's always, I've always liked that aspect of the terrain building. component, because you can, for the most part, and I've seen tables that are not like this, but there's a the idea of the modularity of the table.
I've seen some of those modular tables. Those look so good, but
There's so also, like, you know, the aspect of, like, you know, if you're going to build a tabletop, you can have, you know, different sets of terrain. Like, one rule of thumb is if you're going to build rivers in your terrain, always have the rivers in the center of the sides, so that way they line up.
Yeah.
And that was always one. I've seen where they've taken, like, wood chips and built a something that would be basically as tall as the computer here, and it's a waterfall. And I've seen this, it's a magnificent hobby. But not just the miniatures. Now, there are people who do things with miniatures that are just astonishing and mind-blowing. But, you know, it's that guy who does the stuff with the terrain, just adds the little stuff to it. Because I would like to make the terrain like Jersey barriers. You know, get you some green stuff putty and make some molds and basically, you know, have it where they can be magnetized. And you can have Jersey barriers, or you can have an elevated bridge, just stuff like that. I mean, there's all sorts of inspiration to draw from, because I play Titanfall 2 quite a bit, and I love that aesthetic, because you've got, like, you know, they have, like, you know, the dragon teeth barriers to keep, like, the Titans out. There's areas and stuff. They have, like, cargo pods, which they have over there now.
Ammunition containers. Yeah,
yeah, they do. There are just so many different things that you can do, and you're only limited by your imagination. I mean, like I said, you can take a tub of whipped cream, and you can turn it upside down, and you can add a couple of things to it, and you've got, like, a
stick of butter, a little bit of sugar, whip it up, some egg whites. Bam!
You got yourself a cheesecake.
I was thinking creme brulee, but whatever. I think there's fire in there somewhere.
I was gonna say that requires playing with fire, and that gets right.
Oh, it's a fun hobby, and it's difficult to explain to some people, which is wonderful when you're here at the shop. There's people that know what you're talking about and can appreciate that.
And that's what I was, I was mentioning that before we got started, was that's why I like coming out here anyways, because, like, at work, I'm not the oldest guy there, but I'm also not the youngest guy there. I'm in that kind of middle ground, and I can't really talk to people about some of my, you know, some of the things I have passions
over. Yeah, when you were making the Pee Wee Herman quote.
Yeah, right, then we got to that. And then, you know, it's like, I can come in here and, you know, people get me. I don't feel awkward.
Well, it's like there's a.
I always feel awkward.
You should feel awkward, just not out of place, because most of us are awkward. Yeah.
Right, but in here, but this is the safe zone. This is where you can be awkward, and nobody really judges you. Because if they did, everyone turns around and starts calling them on their own crap.
Where a geek can be a geek.
That's right.
There was a what is it? There was somebody that came to the shop a while back. He was 17 at the time. He's older now. I'm guessing he's like 21, 22 now. But he, at the time when he was like 17, and I made some Monty Python quote, and he was like the only person at the table that got it. And that kind of shocked me, because, you know, Monty Python, Holy Grail, you know, that was one of, like, the quintessential funny movies when I was growing up that everybody had to watch. It was like that, and Clerks, and a couple other things. And, like, oh, yeah, check out this
episode. Speaking of quintessential movies, everybody's watching. So I watched The Fifth Element on Blu-ray the other day.
Love The Fifth Element.
And I watched it with somebody who had never seen it before.
Really?
Oh, wow. How'd that go?
She enjoyed it. She laughed at it, enjoyed the action, everything, and it really does hold up pretty well.
It's
a 20-year-old movie, and
a lot of it was practically done, and practical stuff holds up a lot better than digital.
Not to mention, you had Bruce Willis and you had Chris Tucker.
Yeah. I don't know, Chris Tucker.
That was
Chris Tucker's probably the one thing that doesn't hold up for that movie.
He still laughed at a lot of his. He's still the comedic relief.
You look at the character of Ruby Rod, and you realize it's like, what if Michael Jackson was a DJ? And you get there. I mean, it's the eccentric
Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich.
She was only like 19 or
something like that.
Yeah, when she did that movie.
But now tomorrow we're going to see her in the last Resident Evil movie. They should have stopped like after like three of those,
three or four, right? Did. But then you have the supporting cast in that movie was so good because she had like Tiny Listers playing the president, Ian Holm playing the priest, and Gary Oldman, who is just like so Gary Oldman is just so good in whatever he does. So that, I think that's part of it.
He's
like
a better version of Johnny Depp.
I think so too. I think he's so good. But and that's the thing is like sometimes it's not even like that the movie is that classic. It's just the cast comes together so well that it still holds. One of those that I'm still a huge fan of is like I go through the Police Academy movies almost every couple of months. Like, and if nothing else, just because I love
Michael Winslow and the funny sounds he makes.
You know what? Have you ever seen his stand up?
Yes,
his stand up is amazing. Bobcat.
He is phenomenal.
Now, and here's another
He did like a cover of like a Led Zeppelin song, like
doing
When the Levee Breaks or something.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now another one whose stand up is really good is Bobcat Goldthwait. His stand up is so good. I went and saw him at Zany's a few years back. And of course,
he's
comes
out. He's a
weird
guy, though.
He's a really weird guy.
But the most recent thing I remember him doing was something on Finding Bigfoot.
Really?
Yes. He's like, you know, we're going to go see our buddy Bob. And then Bob comes out. It's Bobcat Goldthwait. He looks nothing like he did in the 80s.
No, he doesn't.
He's got you know, the shaved head. He's wearing, like, the
thick glasses.
Big glasses. Yes. And he's got, like, that really, it's not a fedora, but it's another.
It's one of those, it's that Boston, almost like that Boston hat,
yeah.
I call it.
And he's not even, hey, how you doing?
Well, yeah, and he actually explains that when he does a stand-up, because I went and saw him when he came out. He's like, I know you guys are expecting me to come out and go, after so long, it just becomes really uncomfortable, and none of us are going to want to do that. And his material is so good because he, when you see him on TV, see him on this kind of thing, is he's just that weird, wild eyed kind of like guy. But But he's very intellectual. Watch his stand up or YouTube or something. Yeah. The man's amazing. The way that the casting was done in that movie was so good. I think that's why it stands.
It was Steve Guttenberg who brought them all together. Unhappily Ever After.
He was Mr. Fluffy.
Yeah, he was the bunny.
He was the bunny that no one heard except the dad.
Funny in that.
Yes, he was. It was like Married with Children, but not Married with Children.
It was Married with Children with a crazy man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was somebody who actually hallucinated.
It was Family Guy before there was a Family Guy.
There you go. But I think that's why that one stands the test, is because the cast is so good. The way that they came together, and I keep hearing about the remake, and I keep waiting for it. And the only thing that gives me hope for that is Paul Mazursky is still going to do it, and who's going to do the original? That's the only thing that gives me hope for the remake. If they ever decide to actually do the stupid thing.
Oh, let's do this one time.
I'm sure that sounded wonderful. It got nice and dramatic on the little spike meter.
Yeah.
Something I was going to bring up, but I just can't think of it right now. It'll come to me. Maybe it'll be my final thought when I get there.
Now, if you ever think you're ugly and you can't get a beautiful woman, just remember Bobcat Goldthwait married Nikki Cox.
What?
He also probably had a lot of money at the time, too.
What?
They met on that show, Unhappily Ever After.
That's right!
Yeah.
Hey. It's funny. It gets you a long way.
Yay, I love
that. That's exactly what he said
Make a girl laugh. You're it.
And you know that goes. Good friend Roger Rabbit. You know, seriously, what do you see in that guy? He makes me laugh. You know, if Roger Rabbit can get Jessica Rabbit, I mean, you know,
Bobcat Goldthwait can get Nikki Cox.
That's right.
And yeah. Nikki Cox. Oh my gosh.
On that note,
I'm partial to redheads, with the exception of Larry.
I can share
that. Look at that flowing beard. Is that not?
It's magnificent, but he's not my type.
You'd be lucky to have me.
Oh.
Anyway, other than your final thoughts of how lucky y'all would be to have me, what are your final thoughts?
Well, first off, what are our names? We should do intros before we do our outros.
Are you sure? I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, what's the worst? The worst that will happen is he will derail us for about 10 minutes, and then we'll circle back to our outros.
Yeah, I'm always trying something new when it comes to intros. So,
did we even do an intro today?
We did not do an intro. I tried to let it flow naturally. I hit record when we were talking about what are we going to talk about.
Yeah.
And there was just, we started talking, smooth sailing into that. And stop leaning back in the chair!
I'm sorry!
You know, and there was no real, like, stop for me to, other way. Those were way too high.
Those rubber bands are terrible to shoot at other people.
Break your chair, I will buy you a new one. That's my problem.
Ooh, a ghastly just showed up.
It'll be a nice chair in
there too. Oh, and it's got a pretty high CP. I guess we're going to break out the one of the ultra balls or the great balls for this one.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I'm your host, Lawrence of America.
And joining to you today is Trainer David. He's trying to catch a Gastly right now.
Trainer David throws an ultra ball.
Oh, it's a nice one.
And it was super effective.
Oh, let's see. One, two. No! It got loose.
Way to waste
an ultra
ball.
Apparently it was not effective.
Oh, now I hit a great one. What's your name?
I don't remember.
This is bastard.
And I guess I'm out.
Wow, okay. So I introduced myself and it's like, you bastard. Oh, gee, thanks, Dave. Yeah.
It's Jason, you bastard.
That's better than some of the things I've been called. We won't go into that.
I said my name.
He said his name.
I said my name.
I think we're talking over.
That's not my name.
I am your secret mystery guest.
I got you.
Well,
oh, and it has the same subset of attacks. All right. And apparently, AKA David has caught something ghastly like the clap.
Well, I did go to the doctor, and they did say I have plantar phalangitis, so I got prescribed some medicine for that. It's a steroid.
I don't think there's enough medication for what's wrong with you, Dave.
I know. They've tried.
Alright.
There's not enough. That's not going to stop us from trying.
Yeah.
So, final thought?
Okay. Final thought. I forget the name of the song, but it's by Van Halen. But when he does that intro, it is so fantastic.
Okay.
It's the eruption intro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's the one where it's like, you know, the you got me going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that intro, that is so great. I love that intro. Every time I hear it on the radio, I just have to crank up the radio.
See, every time I hear it, I keep thinking of that stupid Nissan commercial with the guy in the car with his dog.
Yeah. But it's, you know, but I love that intro. I mean, that's like it's the best intro ever.
It's a random final thought, but okay.
Jason, final thought.
I apparently need to go buy more IDW. Thank you guys, and screw you all.
I keep telling you that rubber bands are not very good.
Well, no, I got it from right over here. I mean, I hit him,
but it's
or Larry's terrible at aiming. I thought he tried to aim one at me.
That explains the state of the bathroom.
Well, Adam, what is your final?
Sadly, y'all are to blame for the men's room because it is too funky for me to use most of the time.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah, that one got me.
Men's room's not my fault. I never go in. I know not to trust the men's room here.
A lot of funky guys, but
I know not to trust the men's room after one certain person goes.
Yeah.
But we're not naming names.
No.
And let's be real, it's not one certain person. There are several.
And sometimes it's the one you least expect.
That tiny guy over there. He just knows he's sitting around waiting to do something. He's 30 pounds
and we can smell it from here.
Marcus, the little guy hasn't done anything.
Doesn't he have a bounce in his step?
We do actually try to keep the bathrooms clean. Try, yeah.
Being the optimal word. Just like Kickstarter.
Yet.
Yeah. But anyway, Adam, final thoughts?
Well, I guess speaking of him picking up more IDW, I've said it already in the podcast, but we're relaunching Instruments of Destruction. Check it out on Tuesdays. You'll get all of your IDW, Hasbro stuff, all the information you need, all the reviews, interviews.
Fun. You should listen to it.
We got a bolt tag.
We're definitely doing it this week. Whether or not Jules is in there. If Jules craps out, we're still doing it. Fuck him. All right.
I think he was busy watching the Yankees or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
You mentioned bolt action, Larry.
Yes, so we have a bolt action demo tomorrow, which is a World War II miniatures game. Bolt action. Yeah, there's something else I was going to follow that up with. I can't remember.
I remember seeing something in an email or something. I don't remember if it's from the shop or not, but something about a D&D demo.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not really a demo. We're starting D&D campaigns on Saturday.
There's a nice sign right there for it.
Oh, I can't see the sign.
Yeah, that's going to be a new thing. We're moving Frontier from Tuesday to Thursday.
Okay.
We've got X-Wing. We've got a pretty decent X-Wing group meeting on Saturdays at 2. We're always constantly demoing that. So feel free to come out and check that out.
I need to get some new ships.
Yeah.
Get something else out that I don't need to spend money on but want to.
That's
good at.
X-Wing's pretty cool, because even, the little model ships if you were to just buy little model ships, they'd end up costing you as much as you spend on the dang game. The ships are, $15 each, and they're actually pretty high-quality ships.
I'm a huge fanboy anyway, and seeing some of these ships, just, even if I don't play, I just put them up on my...
The ships aren't actually relevant to the game. You could play them without the ships, but the ships make the game look cool. And they have these little chipboard bases that the ships go on, and you could play it with just the bases.
It's like playing Hero Clicks with the Invisible Woman, nothing but a base. Why would I do that?
My X-Wing, it's cloaked. It's my TIE Fighter, it's cloaked. My shuttle Tidarium, it's cloaked. Where did this cloaking technology come from? Nanu, nanu.
Use the Force, Picard.
But we've got a bunch of great events. We're trying to get everybody have something for them all throughout the week.
For anybody, since we hit on Warhammer earlier. For anybody who is actually playing, we're also doing the Black Crusade campaign right now. It's a week long. It's like each week, wins and losses are accumulated. So we need more players because I'm getting kind of tired of playing Geraldine every week and just being the two of us.
We were working on setting up a Blood Bowl league. We are one of the official Blood Bowl locations.
Official.
We have a stamp and everything.
Actually, we have banners. Even
we do have banners.
Well, it'd be more in theme if they had the melted wax with the stamp.
Yeah,
right.
I declare thee the winner, ye old Blood Bowl.
Ye old Blood Bowl. I don't know how that would sound, but
that'd be more for Guild Ball, I think.
We're definitely trying to revamp all of our events, and of course, this is New Year. We try to go over, hey, what did everybody like? What's everybody
enjoying, how can we make it all better?
Excuse me.
You know. And of course, this is the time of year we try to get a bunch of remodeling in.
I've noticed that there's been some changes. There's a lot more open space.
It's looking really good. It actually does look really good.
Well, you know, and we want this space open, but we still want to be able to set tables up for gaming and everything.
Yeah, that's your table design that you had that you showed me a while back.
Yeah.
You should have a table on casters like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's something that just takes time to build.
Yes. Time and money.
I
have one, but not the other.
And they never show up at the same time.
Oh,
you have one, but you don't have the other, and it always happens that way.
I noticed.
So, we definitely want you to check out all of our social media stuff to keep up to date on all the new events and everything we got going on. Find us at Comic City 2, .com, OutrightGeekery.com. Find us in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Check out Outright Geekery and all their wonderful podcasts. Instruments of Destruction.
And we're getting better.
This Geek in Comics.
The Get Valiant. Geek Sobs. I usually listen to them.
Just if you're into magic, we've got one of our regulars that does Eyes on the Mize podcast.
John.
Yeah.
Is that his? Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good podcast. I like that.
Yeah. He definitely put some time into his research.
He does.
John and Ian are
the gift for gab when it comes to magic stuff.
Ian and Ian are our dynamic duo. Those two are.
Yeah, he's got a very, very high level of passion for the game. I can tell that when he comes in just starts going. And
He,
you can always tell when somebody has that fire for something.
He is. I play with him in a couple of drafts, but. He did something in a conspiracy draft. It just still blows my mind. He took all the conspiracies and named like one spell. He had like a copy of that spell. Boom. He's like, I win. Turn one. Boom. Look.
And that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
That does not surprise me that he did that. And that's, and you know, but that's okay though. Like I said, you know, John is actually not too bad to play against. You know, it's anytime, especially in Commander, you always get jank. It happens. But sometimes they just some guys like
and John
Don,
and
makes
John,
it fun to lose too.
John and John does take time to explain things.
Yeah, definitely.
There's certain individuals who just will throw the cards down and be like, "It's over. I win. Start a new game."
Right. But we derailed again.
Also, if all goes according to plan, we should
that's
have
a special constant thing.
Special guest tomorrow or next week. So we'll see if that happens to come talk about the state of board games and to mention a few board games and stuff he might or his affiliates might have in the works.
I really want to get started into more board games. I've got a couple, and it's fun.
There are definitely some good ones to get in there. I always suggest check out Catan, check out Ticket to Ride.
That is on my to get list now.
Most stuff by Days of Wonder is pretty good.
I like Splendor. I like that.
Splendor is really good. It's fast paced. Plays really well. You against the board versus and everybody playing the board, playing each other. It's definitely a good one. I definitely like it.
There's something about it. Just like video games, online video gaming, it's okay, but it's like. You miss the social aspect. That's what I like
you
about
really
gaming.
You really do.
So I want to sit down with people and I don't want some like 6-year-old talking smack to me over a phone line that I can't reach across and just knock the ever loving crap out of him. I want to sit at the table.
But
and
how
have this
else? How else is that 6-year-old gonna tell you what he's doing to your mom every night?
Well, that's the thing is,
there should be a board game where you get to smack 6-year-olds across the table.
There is a board game where you get to smack 6-year-olds. It's called Pie Face.
Oh, that's what that's about.
Is there arsenic in the pie?
Well, pie's not included. You get to make your own pie. So
sweet,
that's
I'm sold.
Up to you.
Let's do it. Let's do that.
I don't know, officer.
We'll go test it.
We'll
go test it at Monkey Joe's. I did not just go there. I'm sorry, Larry.
And that's how the word premeditated gets thrown about.
I don't have time to meditate anymore.
I don't think that.
Just FYI, Outright Geekery's Comic City 2, Miller Comics and Games, me personally, or anybody else, does not necessarily endorse the poisoning of small children.
But you don't necessarily oppose it either.
You're not condoning it.
All
just
comments
not it.
Are those of people stating said comments and do not necessarily represent.
Let me go ahead and just say that no, I would not actually do that. I would not.
So for your official policy is against the poisoning of small children.
I am against the poisoning of anybody. We're just going to leave it at that. That's what fire's for.
You're digging a hole. Stop. You're digging a hole. Stop.
No, Avery's trying it. That's too big a hole. Oh, how do you stand the pressure?
I think that's enough.
Oh.
Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.